Welcome back to the Off the Crossbar podcast here, courtesy of IsleIndoor.com and Inside Lacrosse. My name is Teddy Jenner, and thank you for joining us. This week, a little bit different. We continually talk about the great game of lacrosse, and we talk to some of the big names and the big goings-on in the world of lacrosse, but sometimes we have to step outside the box and talk about bigger issues. And as we all know, in the world of sports, one of the major issues is head injuries, head shots, head trauma, and all sports, from lacrosse, hockey, football, you name it, any contact sport, they are trying as best they can to get headshots out of the game. And it's a huge initiative, mostly because, one, player safety, but two, the lasting effects of headshots in sports. Look at Junior Seau. Look at Derek Bugard, Rick Rippon. Multiple players who have dealt with long bouts and long-term concussion abuse and have been, let's say, you know, left vulnerable due to their sport at receiving concussions repeatedly. And yes, football is a high, very high impact sport, or it's a high collision sport where guys are getting smacked in the head literally every play. Look at the O linemen and the D linemen, all the contact that those guys go through. Look at all the shots that receivers take and quarterbacks take. It's an unbelievable sport, and it's unfathomable to think how more guys aren't injured in the world of football. But lacrosse is no different. Lacrosse isn't exclusive. We're not subjected, you know, to not seeing guys receive concussions. We've seen players have to stop playing because of it. Ken Montour is one. Dan Carey is another. And the person me joining this week is no exception to that rule, and he is Brandon Turner, a former National Lacrosse League player. Used to play in the Clacks for the Durham Turf Dogs. He's now had to become an assistant coach with them. And I caught up with Brandon earlier this week to talk about his battle with concussions, but more importantly, with depression. All this week in Canada, and more specifically this past Tuesday, February 12th, was Bell Let's Talk Day. Now, if you're unaware, Bell Let's Talk Day is a day to bring awareness to mental issues and mental illness. And the biggest one is depression. Far too often are we seeing young people not being able to handle dealing with depression, not having a way out, feeling alone, feeling helpless. And in the end, taking their own lives because they just can't deal with it anymore. And Bell Let's Talk Day is something that needs to be brought more to the awareness. It's just one day. But because of it, we are bringing more awareness to mental illness. So we welcome Brandon Turner to this week's Off the Crossbar podcast. Brandon, my friend, how are you?
Not too bad. Teddy, how's things on the West Coast?
Things are good. A little rainy, but that's, you know, getting used to. I was golfing yesterday, and today it's raining, so.
That's not too bad. It's better than snowing.
This is very true. I appreciate you doing this. Let's kind of get a bit of a background. When did you start playing lacrosse?
I started playing lacrosse when I was 3, as well as hockey, so it's kind of, they go hand in hand. As you know, in Canada.
Yeah, indeed. Especially you Eastern guys, when, you know, you're always indoors during the winter. Us guys out West, we like to play soccer or golf in the winter. But, you know, that's life on the coast, you know. Okay, so let's try to build a timeline here. You start playing, you know, competitive impact sports when you're 3. When do you think you got your first concussion that you can really remember?
By definition, I mean, if you've got a headache the next day or anything like that, that's technically a minor concussion. So, I mean, geez, probably when I was 12, 13.
Yeah. And now, because of repeated concussions, you have, you know, been basically told by doctors you need to stop playing lacrosse?
Yes. I had a really relatively serious one when I was about 17, and then I've kind of been keeping with the pace of getting at least one concussion every 6 to 8 months since
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I know the feeling. And it wasn't, it never had to be anything major, did it? It could have been just a bump along the boards?
Oh, yeah, not even that. I mean, I had suffered two this summer. The first one was I was killing a penalty, and I was kind of just fading backwards as I made a pass, and I fell.
Yeah.
And it, I didn't even think anything of it. Played the rest of the game, actually had a couple of goals the rest of the game, and then the next day it was just, or the next 2 weeks was just terrible.
Yeah. And what did the doctors say to you? Like, were they able to help you out with any you know, precautions or any, you know, medicines to sort of help with it?
Not really. I mean, there's not really a whole lot you can do with your brain. It's more just rest and healing, and the brain takes its own time whenever it feels like getting better. Really, it heals. But I mean, for the past couple of years, every time I've gotten one, it's like, well, you should probably think about not playing. Well, mm-hmm. you should probably think about not playing. And then after the last one, I came back. The one I just mentioned was a harmless fall. And then I came back 2 weeks later because it was playoffs starting and took a pretty serious elbow to the head. And I've still been feeling effects since then. So and they've obviously said, yeah, you're done. You're not playing anymore. I've been through a battery of MRIs and CAT scans.
Yeah.
And the whole nine yards.
What was the thought going through your head when the doctor said you got to stop playing lacrosse?
It's almost like that scene in Friday Night Lights when Boobie Miles can't play football anymore.
Yeah.
What do I do now? I've been programmed to be an athlete from the age of 3 years old. It's all I've ever done. It's all I've ever known how to do. All my best friends are still. My best friend is still playing for the Toronto Rock now. So it's. It's terrible when you get told you can't do something that you've only known how to do. I've had a pretty tough time actually adjusting to life as a non-lacrosse player or non-athlete, I guess.
And that's something that a lot of guys deal with, is that sort of the separation from the sport and leaving the game. Do you think that has had an impact on dealing with depression? Is that, do you think, sort of when it started?
I'd say with me, in my case, 100% it's when it started. I think it's pretty safe to say I was a pretty happy-go-lucky guy up until about the end of this summer when I kind of came to the realization, you know what, I probably shouldn't be playing anymore. I hadn't even gone to the doctor yet. I was still kind of just self-diagnosing, hoping that I could play, and then I came back for training camp this year with the Turf Dogs. And I just couldn't do it. My motor skills were off. I was afraid to get hit just because I didn't know what would happen next. I mean, you see all the terrible stories on the news. And, for me, the last 4 months, 5 months have been pretty terrible.
Do you find yourself being a bit of a recluse and locking yourself in your house or like staying indoors and avoiding contact with people?
Oh, 100%. Especially, I mean, any one of my friends could tell you I've been a ghost for the last few months, and it's just, I mean, you know how lacrosse players all are. All we do is talk about lacrosse, and we're not playing. We're sitting with our stick. We're talking about the game. We're talking to all our buddies that play. I mean, it's such a small community, and with me having played lacrosse for so long, my only friends are lacrosse players.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've totally been a recluse. I guess my girlfriend's happy because I've been spending a lot more time with her, but, I mean, my friends are taking the brunt of it.
Yeah. Have you talked to people about it? Like what's been the hardest thing for you to come out and be open about this?
Everything. I mean, the fear of not knowing, just the all around, I mean, everything really. Honestly, Teddy, you are the first person that isn't a doctor or my girlfriend that even knows about all of this. Like, this is really the first major conversation I'm having with anybody about it. My parents don't even really know how bad it is. But I mean, like you say, it's Bell Let's Talk Week, and I mean, there's no better time to start getting things out there than now.
What have you done? You know, me, myself, I know, you know, when I was in the darkest times of dealing with my depression, some of the things that I had to do to get me out of it were, you know, just to get out with people. And I started doing yoga and seeing, you know, people that just made me happy and feel good. What are some of the things that you've been doing to sort of get you out of your funk?
The big thing with me has been a huge stroke of good luck and good fortune is I've been able to stay involved with lacrosse. Mm-hmm. Jason Crosby and Jonas Birch asked me to hop on the bench as soon as I told them that I couldn't play anymore. So that's probably been the biggest thing for me is being able to at least keep a stick in my hands once or twice a week and just at least get out and be with the boys and see them.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's still really a work in progress for me. I mean, it's still so new that I'm still trying to adjust and see what makes me happy. You mentioned yoga. I've thought about trying to get out and do that. And there's a rock into a rock climbing place near me that I'm trying to think about get to. It's all things. It's just still a work in progress. I'm really trying to figure something out where I can make myself happy without having to bash my skull against other people.
Yeah. What do you think needs to be done? Is there anything that people can do to recognize signs? Like, do you think people, if they were still to look at you today, if they didn't know that you were dealing with depression, that they could say, oh man, that guy has depression? Like, are there signs that you admit or omit that people could recognize?
I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean, my good friends who have recognized me not being out at all, not even talking to people, like you say, just being a complete recluse.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's even still. I mean, if someone's just a shy person, no one's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the biggest thing is trying to talk about it and have awareness. But it's really tough because it's all a mental thing, right? It's not like someone's walking around with a limp or has a scar on their face or anything like that. It's mental, so it's really tough to figure out. And it's just asking and continuously asking. It's my girlfriend, like I mentioned, she's living with me, so she sees me almost 24/7, so she can kind of tell when I'm down.
Yeah.
And she asks and asks and asks, and it's, I mean, some people with me, I don't really like to talk about it all that much, my feelings and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as you feel like you're beating a dead horse, you got to keep pestering, and eventually you'll want to talk, and whenever that time comes, you got to have someone there to listen.
Speaking with Brandon Turner, assistant coach with the Turf Dogs of the Canadian Lacrosse League, former National Lacrosse League player, former Western Lacrosse Association player, BC Junior A lacrosse player. There's good days and bad days. Is there something that triggers the bad days for you?
You know what? Not really. I mean, sometimes if you have a bad day at work, you come home and kind of bring it home with you. But not really. I mean, it's one of those things. It's a weird thing, and you can't really explain it. But it's, I mean, for me, the past couple of days have been pretty down.
Yeah.
So it's like you just wake up and you just feel not right.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of, with me, I've had a tough time because I keep repeating everything in my head, and oh, you're not playing anymore. Oh, this sucks. Oh, that sucks. And you just start kind of downward spiral, as opposed to on a good day. You wake up and it's, oh, everything's not too bad, and you kind of work the other way, and it's an uphill spiral. So it's really, really tough to figure out.
This is sort of a tough question, but, you know, people who deal with depression obviously go to their wit's end at times. Have you ever thought about killing yourself, or have you ever gone to those extremes?
I haven't so much come to, like, the very highest point of that. But I mean, there's been many, many times where I've thought, well, crap, I can't play lacrosse anymore.
What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. What's the point? All I've ever been is a lacrosse player.
Yeah.
There's no point in really, there's no point in going on. But with me, as opposed to the ending it, I say to myself, screw it. You know what? I'm just going to pack up my crap and drive up north and become a bushman forever. Stay away from everybody. So, but yes, no, it's, I mean, because of everything being kind of in the news now and everything up to the forefront, I kind of acknowledge that. And when I start to get really bad, that's when I really tell my girlfriend to tell.
Yeah.
Really, that's only her, because she's the only other person that knows her. I have a doctor who I work with, and so I call him whenever I'm having a really tough time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's pretty tough.
Yeah. Have you seen a naturopath or gone to any sort of Eastern or Western medicine doctors, try something different?
You know what? I haven't. I've kind of just been, like I say, it's so early on. I haven't really tested the waters, but it's something that I've thought about, and I probably will start to look into it, because it's all right now. I've only just been referred by my family doctor to the clinic, sort of thing. So, I mean, that's a pretty general place to go. It's not like they deal with athletes specifically or people who are dealing with the things that I'm dealing with.
And talking with some of the people we've had on the radio shows out here for Bell Media, Let's Talk Day, one of the things that they've, you know, we've talked to a lot of nutritionists and naturopaths and just changing diet. And I know you're a fairly healthy guy anyway, but just, you know, little things, taking in and out of, putting things in your diet and taking things out of your diet can really help boost the triggers. One thing that I've been doing is literally, you know, Lindt chocolate.
Yeah.
You can buy them in the big square bars, and they range from 75% to like 95% pure cocoa. And literally buying like an 80% bar, and you just have one little chunk of that a day. It's a natural Prozac. And it just sort of kicks the day off on a right start. And that's just something that I've been doing. Obviously, for everyone else, it's a little bit different. But little things like that can mean the world of a difference, especially when you're having a pretty down day.
Geez, that's neat that you mentioned. I had no idea. I mean, it's like I said, that's just showing how new to everything I am.
Yeah. Well, I've only learned about that in the past like 6 months too. You know, it's I was literally going to see a chiropractor, and I was telling them that I was dealing with depression, and they said, "Oh, here, try this," and it could be something as simple as that. And that's what you know, people think that, you know, you need to be laying on someone's couch and spilling your heart out to get over depression, and that's not it at all. It's something that's internal, and it's just having a bad day, and little things can trigger it, and little things can turn it right back off.
That's awesome for me to hear, honestly, because like I said, I mean, as much as I try to be informed, I've got a long ways to go in terms of learning more, and that's going to be something as soon as I get off the phone with you, I hop on the computer and start looking at.
Before that, you go, what would you like people to understand about the stigma of depression?
I mean, a lot of people have said it in the past, is that it is an illness. It's not, that guy's just a miserable person.
Yeah.
He's sick. He needs help, and he needs people to understand what's going on. Not just, like you say, all the typical stigmas that come along with it. It's just really being informed. I've said it, I had a little interview here in the city with a local guy, and I said the same thing. It's just be informed, as informed as possible, because it's a sickness, and it seems to be affecting more and more people, in specific lacrosse players and hockey players and football players, a lot more now than ever. I mean, we just recently lost a junior B player from Elora not even 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So it's becoming younger and younger that it's affecting people, so that's it's not a good thing, but we just have to be informed and be on top of it.
Brandon, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. I know, you know, as I said, someone who deals with it themselves, it's not always the easiest thing to admit and the easiest thing to talk about, but this is a huge step for you, I'm sure. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today, and if you ever need anybody, you always got to call on me.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Teddy.
Brandon Turner, assistant coach with the Durham Turf Dogs, joining us, and very candid, very open, and you can see how depression can affect people. As he said, he hadn't really spoken to anyone about it. Opening up for the very first time to people not directly related to him on this podcast. And it just goes to show that a happy face and a big smile on the outside doesn't mean it's all rainbows on the inside. People who deal with depression don't like to talk about it, and they don't like other people to know about it because they feel they're going to be judged and rejected. And so they lock themselves in their house. They stay recluse. They stay indoors. They don't talk to people. A great story by Mark Weber in the Vancouver Province about Andy O'Brien, a Vancouver Whitecaps soccer player who dealt with depression himself, and said that he would lock himself into his apartment and not talk to anybody for 18 hours at a time when he was playing in the English Premier League. I know people who wouldn't come out of their places for days. But when you'd see them on an everyday basis, you would think, oh, that guy's got his life in order. He seems, happy. He's out there smiling and having fun. But what you don't know behind those closed doors is a person who's battling with demons in their own mind. And thanks to Bell Let's Talk, this year alone, they raised $4 million. They were donating 5 cents to every tweet, Facebook share, text, and long-distance call. So that means an additional $4.8 million was donated to mental health programs. That is amazing. For all the people that helped along with that, with the hashtag Let's Talk, I thank you. As I said in this podcast, I deal with depression. There are days where I don't talk to people. I stay inside my apartment. I'm scared to go outside. But with initiatives like Bell Let's Talk and people like Brandon who, are scared for themselves but are opening up to people, we can avoid losing more and more young people because of this illness. 1 in 5 Canadians will experience a form of mental illness at some point in their lives. 2 in 3 people suffering in silence, fearing judgment and rejection because of their mental illness. A staggering 49% of Canadians said they would socialize with a friend who has a serious mental illness. Only 49%. So that's less than half of your friends would hang out with you if they knew you had a mental illness. That needs to change. Along with Bell Let's Talk, along with everyone else who is helping to get rid of this illness, a great website that I am so happy is out there is mindcheck.ca. It's a program that was largely started by Kevin Bieksa, Vancouver Canuck. The Canuck organization lost one of their players, Rick Rippon, due to mental illness. There are ways to get help. You do not need to feel scared. So please, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling down, don't be fearful. Know the signs. Listen. And please, let's talk. That's been another edition of the Off the Crossbar podcast. If you want to know more, go to letstalk.bell.ca or go to mindcheck.ca. I'm sure if you just Google mental illnesses, you can find websites in your own country, state, city for more information and facts. But please, don't let this go on any farther. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, be excellent to each other.